Okay, let's finish up the minog of going to mikveh. Yesterday we discussed the minog to go to mikveh. It's chayiv adam l'tahara regel. We discussed the two primary reasons why we go to mikveh. Number one is carry. Number two is an extra degree of tshuva. When a person does tshuva, there is a requirement to go to mikveh. And we mentioned a number of nafkaminis. If it's because of carry, there is no bracha. If it's because of tshuva, there should be a bracha. If it's because of carry, a person just dips himself once in the mikveh. If it's because of tshuva, a person should dip himself three times in the mikveh. We mentioned it from the Farshim because of the three different types of sins. Chet, Pesha, and Avoin. Okay, then we mentioned the Rambam. The Rambam says that a person who is tameh and goes to mikveh is in better shape than a person that was never tameh to begin with. Why? Because it's only concerning the person that was tameh and went to mikveh does the Torah openly call him tahor. Now that's very difficult because we learned this in the Gemara not so long ago in the Daf Yomi, in the Sech, the Brachas Daf Chafes, where the Gemara discusses a story where there were three Amorayim sitting around the table and they were fighting who should lead the benching. Now this is very typical, inshallah, should you bench, this one bench, who should mechabed? No, everyone promised, and these just, no, you don't have to ask me to bench, let someone else bench. But there in the Gemara, the story was, they were arguing, they were trying to take the benching for themselves. And one Amora says, I'm going to bench. Do you know why I'm entitled to bench? Because today, someone poured over my head 9 kavin of mayim. Obviously, the person was tamei. Tumas Keri, but he had Tara. He took a shower. Took a shower. 9 kavim of mayim is matar mishum Tumas Keri. Therefore, he was entitled to bench. The second person says, no, I'm better than you because I went to mikveh. And going to mikveh for Tumas Keri is even better than Tisha Kabin. The third Amoris says, you know what? I'm benching because I'm not tamei. I don't have the problem of Tumas Keri. I'm better than you. You're tameh, and you're tameh, and you had Tisha Kabin, and you had mikveh. I didn't have the problem altogether. And therefore, I'm going to bench. So what do we take out of this piece of Gemara? It's clear as day that never being tameh is better than being tameh, requiring mikveh. So this is a direct contradiction to the Rambam. The Rambam says, if you have two individuals, one was never tameh, and one was tameh, went to the mikveh, going to the mikveh is better because him, the Torah says, is tar. And the person that was never tameh, the Torah never says that he's tar. But the Gemara clearly says that the one that did not have the problem is the one who deserves to bench over the other two individuals who had the problem and had tara, yeah?
But nowadays, it seems to be the Kohen.
So let's assume now that it's not, there were no Kohanim present. If there was a Kohen present, that totally changed. Yeah, the Kohen get, because we're not mock, these are all very, and everything else is equal, then we look at Tahara. Let's assume now there were no Kohanim, or let's assume they were all Kohanim, and that was not an issue. The issue was, among Tahara, which among the three is in a state of purification. So there's a very obvious answer to this question, which all the commentators give. You cannot compare the case of Tumas Meis to the case of Tumas Keri. When it comes to Tumas, the Rambam is discussing specifically Tumas Meis. A person comes in contact with the dead. That's where the Rambam says, a person who is Tameh and went to mikveh, upon him, the Torah says, he's Tahor. Whereas the person that never went to mikveh, Torah never said he's tar. But Tumas Keri, what does Tumas Keri come from? It comes from Kalus Reish. It comes from levity. It comes from a frame of mind, not going into a Ashkafik and Yanim. It comes from a state of voluntary contamination. That's a whole different concept. There, everyone agrees, not being in that frame of mind that causes carry is a higher level than a person that was in that situation and now went through a purification process. So you cannot compare the case of carry to the case of Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis is not a matter of a frame of mind. It's a matter of being in a situation, being in the vicinity of the dead, Oil HaMeis, being physically present of the Oil HaMeis. So there, if a person was in the presence of a Meis and he became Tumei, and now he went to Mikvah, the Torah says, ah! You are Tahar, that is a higher level than a person that never came in contact with the dead, because upon him the Torah never said that you are Tahar. But everyone agrees, if a person was in a frame of mind that brought about this situation called Keri, even though he went to Mikvah and he's Tahar, you should never, well not if should never, a person is married, but it's different, that is already a different type of situation, and there everyone will agree that not being in this frame of mind is preferred. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea I want to bring out is we all are all very aware of the paraduma. Paraduma is the water that has been mixed with the ash of the paraduma, and the Gemara, the Mishnah, Masechta Parah tells us that they would prepare the paraduma by raising children in a city of purity. It was a special city that was built on stones, so there was no concern that the people living in the city became contaminated from the dead. And they would raise these children, and then when it came time to burn the parah, they would take these children, and they would be involved in the process of preparing the parah adum. However, they would first contaminate the children, and then they would put them in mikvah, and then they would prepare the paradum. And the question is why? Why would you contaminate the children? So the Gemara discussed because of the Tzedokim. The Tzedokim, a group of people that did not believe in Torah Shabbat, they were of the opinion that you only can, the people that are involved in preparing the paradum must be 100% Tahar. What does it mean to be 100% Tahar? You go to mikvah, and you wait until the sun sets. There's something called Harev Shemesh. Mikvah, like we know today, and this one after the sun sets, that concludes the process of Tahara. This was the opinion of the Tzedokim. The Rabbanan, called the Prushim, strongly disagreed. They were of the opinion, based upon a series of drashos, that the Parah Adumah can be prepared by a person who went to Mikvah, even if the sun has not yet set, called they did not yet have Harev Shemesh. Even though the sun did not set, they are fit to prepare the paraduma as long as they have gone to Mikvah. In order to show up the Tzedokim that you are wrong, we disagree with you, they would purposely contaminate the Kohanim that would be involved in the preparation of the paraduma and not wait until the sun would set and have them prepare the parah adumah. The problem was, this created a sense of laxity, that, oh, we're not so careful, the parah adumah does not need to be prepared by people that are 100% tar. In order to compensate for this levity that would exist because they would contaminate the people that would prepare the parah adumah and not wait for the sun to set, they went to the other extreme, and they would delay, they would raise these people, the children that would prepare the parah adumah, in a state of tahara until the very, very last moment. This is very well known from the Gemara, the Mishnayis, and the Masechta Parah, and it's discussed in the Gemara. However, there are other Mefarshim that say that's not the only reason why they would contaminate the people, the children that would prepare the Parah Adumah. They would bedavka contaminate them so that they could then go to the mikvah, because going to the mikvah after you contaminate it is a higher level of tahara than if you were never contaminated to begin with. Since the halach is the paraduma can only be prepared by people who are tahar, we bedavka want people that the Torah calls tar. Who are those that the Torah openly says are tar? Yep. People who are tamei, who have been contaminated and have gone to mikvah.
Is that like tumas meis?
Yes, that's tumas meis.
Expose them to a
meis. Yes. They would expose them. Yes, they would. They would expose them to a meis or to a sheretz. Not necessarily a meis, to a sheretz. Meis could be a tumas shiv. It's a more severe form of tuma. But someone who is exposed to a sheretz, a dead sheretz, touch the dead sheretz, he's tamei for one day. He goes to mikvah. He needs her Shemesh, but being that he went to Mikvah, the Torah now has called this individual Tahar. That is an advantage over a person that has never gone to Mikvah. And that all fits into the theme of why we go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, because even if a person is not Tamei, Bizman HaZeh, it doesn't really make a difference. Bizman HaZeh, we go to Mikvah, this still Tumas Meis, but going to a Mikvah adds a degree of Tahara. And you want to come into the Yom HaDin with an extra degree of Tahara, therefore B'davka, you go to Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. Now, let me tell you a very cute little story from the Tkotzke Rebbe.
Are you supposed to contaminate or you're not supposed to?
Chas v'sholom, you're not supposed to contaminate. You don't contaminate, but you go to Mikvah.
Going to Mikvah.
No, of course not. No, of course not. Anyway, we're contaminated today. There is no... In order to become pure from the dead, we need the Paraduma water, which we do not have, the Paraduma Ash, and therefore it's impossible today to remove from ourselves the tumah of mace, but we still go to Mikvah, which we discuss for two reasons. Number one, we go to Mikvah because Tumas Keri, we go to Mikvah. Number two, we go to Mikvah because it's part of the process of Teshuva. When a person sins, when a person does Averos, and he becomes a Baal Teshuva, we discussed this yesterday at length. If a Baal Teshuva, a person who was a Mechal Shabbos, Bifar Hesia, and he now undergoes the process of Teshuva, so he is required al pi halacha to go to Mikvah. The Mikvah is not going to take away your Tumas Meis, but it's part of the process of Teshuva going to Mikvah. On Yom Kippur, we are all in the category of Balei Teshuvah, and therefore part of the process of Teshuvah is to go to Mikvah. And if you take this to its logical conclusion, we would be required to make a bracha when we go to Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. We do not. The Mechaber says do not. And we mentioned yesterday the Shivoli Haleket says you do make a bracha, because the Shivoli Haleket says the Ikatam we go to Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur is because of Teshuvah. For Teshuvah, you make a bracha. How many times do you dip in the Mikvah? We mentioned you dip in the Mikvah once, or you dip in the Mikvah three times. If it's because of Tahara from Keri, you'd only dip in the mikvah once. If it's because of tshuva for Averus, you would dip in the mikvah three times. And it's explained because there are three different types of sins. There's chet, chatoim, avoinois, and peshoim. Chet, avoin, pesha. You're doing tshuva for the three types of sins, so you dip in the mikvah three times. Now let me tell you a very cute story from the Kotzke Rebbe and the Chiddush Harim. Once the Kotzke Rebbe and the Chiddush Harim were walking along the river in the winter, and there was a frozen river, a frozen lake, which I guess they would use every so often as a mikvah. The Kotzke Rebbe, the Hasidim, go to mikvah a lot. And in ancient times, I'm sure you all have heard of stories how the people from the previous generations had no fear. They would chop holes in the frozen waters and go dip in the mikvah. Even women, there are many women in Russia that were moitzu nefesh to go into frozen waters to go to mikvah. To be, they should to remove the tumas nida to be permitted to their husbands. Okay, so we have me there walking and they saw a guy, he was standing there in the river on the ice in the winter, and he took out some type of instrument and he drew a cross in the ice. He was a religious, devout Christian, and he drew in the ice a cross. Shasi ve'erif. So the Kotzke Rebbe said to the Chiddush HaHarim, look at this. Mayim, water, is from the few things that are not mekabel tumah. Ashreichem Yisrael mi metareschem avichem shebashamayim. Water, mikvah, is metare. It's tahara. Water is not mekabel tumah. In fact, water is metare. But look at this. When the water is frozen, when the water turns into ice, then it's possible to, it's not a real tumah, it's possible to contaminate the water. The river has frozen, turned into ice, and this devout Christian has taken his sword and has etched out in the ice a cross. It's disgusting. He's contaminated the water. This is a Musar Haskel for all of us. The only time Mayim is only when a person has warm feelings. Harish. If you're a kalta litvak, if you're a kalta litvak and you freeze your emotions, someone can come along and contaminate you. So if you daven, Ashmona Esrei, like a kalt litvak, and you're frozen like ice, and you're susceptible to contamination. Someone can come and just etch in you a shesiv air. But if you're a warm person, if you're a warm chassidish yid, a little schnapps and a little kugel, you have warmth. Oh, warmth! Then the water melts. There's no ice. It's just water. Water! It's impossible for water to be makabel tumah. It's not susceptible to tumah. This is a musar haskel, how a person has to come, how he should come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu in avodas Hashem. You have to come with warmth, not with frozen coldness. Okay, I thought that was a nice little cute idea. Okay, pretty much.
So there's a maze in a river, along the riverbed?
No.
And someone's 20 feet downstream?
There's no effect. Absolutely not. If there's a maze in the mikveh, let's say they go to the mikveh today, okay, in the Flabba Shabar Park, and there's a dead sheretz, one of the Shmoyne Shratzim, is in the mikveh. It's in the mikvah. There's no effect on you as long as you're not touching it. Let me just tell you one other thing. We discussed this in our Daf Yomi section. We mentioned this idea. We mentioned when does a person become tahar when he enters the mikvah? Is it when he is submerged in the water? Is that the moment of tahara, or is it when he comes out of the water? So we discussed this. This is discussed in the Rishonim, the Achronim. There are two opinions. There are some who learn that the tahara comes upon the person when he is submerged. At the moment when he's completely submerged in water, that's when he becomes tahar. Other opinions disagree, and they hold that the tahara comes when you come out of the mikvah. The mikvah is not a place of reality. You can't live in the mikvah. That's not what Hashem wants from man. Hashem doesn't want man to go into a mikvah and just live there. You can't breathe. It's a new beginning. You go into a world that you can't exist. And then you come up. It's a rebirth. It's a renewal. It's a new creation. It's just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bereishis Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim Ve'es Haaretz, Ve'aretz Ha'Yisrael Sova Ruach Elokim Rachefes Al Pnei Hamoyim. The world was originally water. Shamayim v'aret, Shamayim is Shom Mayim. From the water emerged a new world, a new beginning, a world of Tahara. When you go into the mikvah, you're going back in time, you're going back to a time before the world existed. Shom Mayim, Tohu v'vohu, a place where you can't exist. Tohu, and then you come up. You emerge. That's the moment when you are makabel the tahara from the mikvah, a new beginning.
It's the second opinion.
Yeah, that's
the
second. Is when you're in the water itself.
No,
the water itself
has support.
It's a Gemara. I don't have the source in front of me, but this is discussed in the Gemara among the Rishonim and Acharonim. You came in the different sugis and shas, the two different opinions. Okay, Mikvah is a very interesting minhag in general, because mikvah brings out the idea of something that's not in the Torah. It's a minhag. You go to mikvah. Some people go to mikvah every Friday, some go every day, some go for Yom Tov, some go only Yom Kippur, some go for the Yom Narayim. Going to mikvah, there's nowhere in the Torah where it tells you to go to mikvah. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch you mechuyev to go to mikvah except for Erev Yom Kippurim. But yet, the Baal Shem Tov says, mikvah has the koach, those that are sensitive to what mikvah is all about, to bring a person to very high levels of kedusha. And he puts it, he matches it to depression. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. We're talking about depression where a person decides just to give up. Nowhere in the Torah does it say, you're not allowed to be depressed. It doesn't say it anywhere. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch. But if a person is depressed, he can do the worst averos. It can lead to the most horrible things possible. So it's just so we know. Don't put yourself in the matzav of depression, and that way you won't do terrible averos. Just as depression is true with regard to depression, the negative form, it's true with regard to mikvah in the positive. Through mikvah, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah to go to mikvah, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, if a person accustoms himself to tahara, to purity, he can elevate himself in avodas Hashem to levels that are beyond imagination, that are way beyond what a person can normally do. It really captures the whole essence of a minhag. All minhagim are not in the Torah. They're not in Shulchan Aruch. These are things that people do to bring themselves a little bit higher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what you could accomplish with minhagim, you can't accomplish with mitzvos, the tayag mitzvos. Again, the scale of depression versus minhag, he puts on this the two poles of the spectrum.
There is a Hasidish word, and it hits the spot, I think. Atzvus and medidus sound very close. If a person has depression and medidus, he's like
bitter.
He's bitter over what happened, but really there's a tremendous, the difference is tremendous. But how do you know? So the word is from atzlus, what happens by atzlus? You go to sleep. And by medidus, you sit down and you learn. That's the difference of those two.
Okay.